last week that I had a problem. I had to set up a new account.
That's the one I was looking at tonight, but you've called me, I called you on your original account.
That's right. Well, what I did this morning, well, I've not used it since last week. What I did was I uninstalled it and reinstalled it, and when I reinstalled it, the original account came back. the whole thing is just nuts to me, but there you go. Anyway, here we are.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't think. You do. It's a hard one. It does updates, obviously. It depends on your device, like your laptop. It might not be compatible with the new one, with the new Skype. Sometimes that happens. Happens with Mac and Windows, you know.
Anyway,
Yeah,
all
so they
things
might not
happen.
be compatible, so you get some problems. It happens. Sometimes you can just shut down your computer, or it's obviously done a big update, but you created another account.
I know. Well, that's gone now. I don't know what's happened to that one, but
I've got it here.
all right, okay.
I've got two because you messaged me on there, but we're back to the old one. That's all right.
Yeah, back to the old one. That's probably the best thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's fantasy world.
Oh, Microsoft, Google, all that shit. It's just utter nonsense. Oh.
Is. It's, they're like children, aren't they? Sometimes you just it's so funny. Yeah, it's unfortunately a lot of us. It is a frustrating thing because, we might have computers or phones or things that we like over the years, but they're always forcing you to update or buy new ones. And it's getting more ruthless, especially with Apple. You know, they're just you know, like if you've got an old desktop or something, you just can't use Skype or these things anymore.
That's
You know,
right.
you can't go on YouTube or search anything. Nothing works. You can't get updates, so they force you to go and buy a new one. It's because
This is it.
the new software loaded on these machines, like the new programs, are so tremendous. They're so huge. There's so much tech in them that
This
your
is
old
it.
devices can't handle them anyway, you know. I can't believe the iPhones they're up to now, what, like 16 or something like that's ridiculous. I've got a really old one.
I know. It's all about generating money, isn't it? You know, they have this really cute business model that makes them millions, and we the poor sods, the customers, that have to suffer for it.
Yeah, you kind of think that, don't you? Think like if you, but I guess that's just the way it is with technology, you know? They just keep updating and your stuff doesn't work. And you've got to keep buying new stuff all the time, which most of the public don't mind doing, I guess. But if you've got a good device or a laptop or something and you're happy with that over the years and it's gone good for you, so you got to go down and buy another one, and they're pieces of crap all the time, you know?
Well, I know I've got an iPhone. I've had it for about 15 years. Honestly, and it still works fine.
Yeah, they were good, those original ones.
I can't remember which one it is. It's something like an iPhone 6 or something
Yeah,
like that.
I think I've got a 7, but I've had a few problems lately, but I just uploaded the software. It seems to work okay. I did that on my Mac. I've got an older Mac and I uploaded the new software, but sometimes it slows down. It's just trying to keep up with the new tech they've got. It's just
That's it.
everything's just lightning quick now, you know, but it's.
Well, on my iPhone, does everything that I need it to do.
Yeah, of
It
course.
costs me £9 a month, all in, everything. That's unlimited text, unlimited data, unlimited calls, £9 a month, you know.
That's similar to what I got, yeah. I
Yeah.
just got a simple plan. I think it's about that a month. I think it's like 18 or $15 a month Australian, which would,
About the same, isn't it?
yeah, about the same, and it's unlimited. Yeah, texts and things, and I get like 18 gig or something, I think, with that. Or, and I never use even half of that, so it's been fine for me. I never touch it. It always works, and I just use it for the basics. I
Me
mostly
too.
use the desktop, but I have been podcasting in the day using the Skype on the phone, which has helped me a lot just because of my times here. I'm able to do podcasts with Shannon, of course, in the day around 9 a.m. here, and I use my phone and I just plug in with a little headset there, and we can continue those, or I wouldn't be able to do them.
What time is it for Shannon when it's 9 o'clock for you?
It's usually about 4 p.m. there.
Right.
In the afternoon, which is good for her, for example. But a lot of the US guests are like that. I'll be on with Johnny tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m. for me.
Yeah.
but I'm usually up around 6, but that'll be 4:30 for him in the afternoon, which is perfect timing for him.
Yeah.
And so, but I'll use my phone. And works perfect. It's an older iPhone. It records crystal clear. I don't need all the new tech as long as Skype's working and I can... Yeah. I don't need all this fancy stuff. They're quite brilliant, the older iPhones. They're very solid. They don't break.
Definitely.
They seem to work very well. It's just, as I said, the software is getting so advanced and fast that your devices can't keep up with it. And it just flushes us all out. It's like us, buddy. We're old goats. The system doesn't want us anymore. Anyway,
we've outlived our usefulness, man.
That's all right. I don't mind. It's okay. I just, I'm the same as you, buddy. I just use what I need. And if I've got a device that's served me good over the years, I'm quite happy to keep it. As if it's not broken and it works fine. I hate being forced to go down and buy new shit I don't need.
Me too.
Yeah, it pisses me off, It's like, why should we have to do that? But it's the same. I remember growing up, my grandma had a refrigerator for my entire childhood, right almost until I was like 20 years old. And you would go to Nan's house and the fridge is there, or the stove's there and stuff. And now it's all throwaway plastic garbage.
That's it. Exactly.
You keep consuming, John, as we know.
You've got to keep the billionaires in diamonds and champagne, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. We'll discuss that a little bit. you're coming through perfect. That's good. Very clear. The clearest I've had you, I think.
Oh, really?
That's good. Working well. If you're ready to go, we'll...
Yeah.
We'll...
Anything specific today? Or
God
just
knows.
General? Just see where it goes.
See where it goes. That's the way it is. Anyway, that'll be all good. It should be 11 a.m. yours.
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock now. Yeah.
All right. Midday, okay. Usually the hour we go.
Yeah.
All right. I'll bring it in, John. All right, we are plugged in on Wednesday night, the 14th of September. Wow, 2022, time flying by, and you're listening to the Kras Files podcast with Adam and author and researcher John Hamer. He's plugging in with me tonight from the UK. John's on with me once a month. No set dates, we just plug in once a month to cover all the latest and what we're seeing going on in the world. And John gives us a unique perspective being in the UK as well. I'm here in Sydney, Australia, of course, so it's always good to plug in with John. We talk about his great work, his many, many years of fantastic research and his books as well. And we try to center around his great work through his books. And you can find John's books up on my website as well in the book widget there. It scrolls around, so click on the books there. And as always, I always put John's information up, where to find his books, website, everything in the podcast description. Everything's up on krasfiles.com. Enjoy. Thanks to the members. You guys are awesome. You can support me over there for a cup of coffee once a month. Really helps me to continue. My costs are growing here to keep this big website up. And so all the social media links are there now, Telegram, BitChute, Brighty, and all of that. That's all on there if you want to connect over there as well. And there's plenty going up on the website. I'm podcasting for the members in the weeknights when I'm not on with guests, doing the Night Watch podcast with Adam, and just going over all the latest, keeping it simple, and just looking at what's going on in the moment for the members. So hi to the guys over there on Telegram as well. You guys are putting up so much info. It's wonderful to see. It really is intensifying and speeding up. There's always so much to discuss with John. And John's plugging in with me now. How's everything going on your end, John, since we last spoke? And I will say it's wonderful to have these UK guests on with me. I'll be chatting with Dawn Lester next week and David Parker in the UK. I've got Jay Wilderness on, who's up in the UK as well, who's just moved up there into the wilderness somewhere. And I've got John Hamer, and it's just wonderful to chat with you guys over there in the UK. As we connect, John, we keep our communities going. We build, and we just move forward in a positive way. But how's things going on your end since we last connected? How's everything been?
Hi, Adam. Thanks for having me back on again. It's good to be here as always. I mean, everything's just plodding on as normal. No great dramas other than the death of the Queen, allegedly.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether she's been dead a while, as a lot of people seem to be suggesting. I've no idea about that, really. But, it's, you know, certainly all quiet on the COVID front. No dramas there, but... I don't know. It's kind of an uneasy quietness, if you know what I mean. I can't believe that they're not planning something else horrific at the moment. Because let's face it, they've got to get their Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 plans fulfilled. Wow. And this is so. There's kind of an uneasy expectation in the air from certain quarters, I think it's fair to say. But that will all pan out, and we'll see.
Yeah. Obviously, you bring up the Queen there. We have been chatting about that this week on the podcast, and I'm sure Johnny will be unleashed tomorrow when he's on, because that's kind of he studies that a lot, so he'll cover it. It's really hard to... It's not something that I really follow. Although, you know, Australia obviously being a Commonwealth country, a lot of people love the Queen. They absolutely love it. Love Prince Charles and all of this. So I've tried to cover a little bit.
Let me correct you, King Charles.
Your new king. But, I mean...
Not my new king, mate, but...
is right. It happened in the morning here. And, because I took my little one swimming. It was on last Friday, I think. And it was just, oh my God, it was like an avalanche. It was just like an explosion, you know? And when I got home, you just couldn't. Through this week, I mean, Australian TV has just, there's specials and 60 minute shows and programs and the new, it is absolutely saturated. The Queen, the Queen's death, you know, you cannot escape it. So, I mean, no matter what you do on planet Earth right now, you cannot escape this situation. And it always makes me think that when something this big happens, they're always planning something else. So you got to kind of look at what they're doing behind the scenes, you know. But we have TV celebrities, morning breakfast show celebrities, news celebrities, people in the newspapers. We've got it everywhere that you can poke a stick at. They're sobbing and they're boo-hooing and they're crying for the Queen. And they're very angry if you don't show the same respect. They're demanding that you get on one bended knee and show respect to the Queen. As I said, John, it's not something I've ever followed too deeply the history of this. I guess you have as well, and who these people really are really a bunch of inbreds to me, but I guess it's something we have to discuss, isn't it? Because I can't imagine the saturation of your media in the UK. It must be
unstable. Well, I don't watch TV, Adam.
Or your newspapers, or just general
aspect of it. But obviously, all the written media, all the electronic media, in terms of IT type stuff, you know, the internet is just absolutely, as you say, saturated with it. And I just kind of click past it, ignore it, because to be honest, I just think the whole thing is just a circus, basically, and it's just a distraction. And as you say, I think that I kind of intimated it a few minutes ago, but I definitely think there'll be something brewing in the pipeline that's not going to be very pleasant this winter for sure. Because obviously it's just coming into autumn now for us, and the winter months are just around the corner. There's usually something horrible in the planning for us, but we'll see on that. Yeah.
It's we'll talk a bit about that tonight anyway, the energy
Yeah.
crisis and everything in Europe and what's
Yeah.
going on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, what timing and what a funny thing this is. It's come at an incredible time, isn't it? And as I said, it's
Yes.
always about distraction and distracting the masses of the planet away. And when that happens, you know that something is happening. Something is they're planning something. Something's going to go on. We've been getting bits and pieces here, John. Bits and pieces
Yeah.
here. Strange things happening in our airports, and
Right.
things like that. Just makes me think it's a little bit uneasy.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah. If you look at the last couple of years or so, and the whole COVID psyop and everything that was done to humanity, and everything that's happened, and everything that we've discussed. And what's happened in Australia as well, and what they did to people. You look at it all, and now it's, I mean, and now it's the queen. It is, isn't it? It is absolutely like a soap opera, one of those
We just seem to
American
lurch.
soap operas that
Yeah.
go on forever, you know?
Yeah, we just seem to lurch from one disaster to another all the time,
It's
don't we?
like
And I
that,
think,
isn't it? Yeah.
yeah, and the reason they do it is it's to keep us distracted while they can get on with what they're wanting to do in the background, and we don't notice it. So you've got all these distractions from the media. I mean, obviously the COVID thing was a massive one. The Queen, by comparison, is a minor one, but there's always something for them to focus our attention on. We've got the ongoing war in Ukraine, as you say, the energy crisis coming up, which will be very interesting to see exactly how that goes down, because that's going to be a big one. I mean, that is going to be a big one. I don't know whether you want me to talk a little bit about that, because to me, obviously the whole thing, but the Russia-Ukraine war and the energy crisis, it's obviously all connected. Not in the way that they're telling us it is, but I think my own personal view is that the Russia-Ukraine war was begun at the beginning of this year to facilitate the energy crisis, deliberately to facilitate the energy crisis. For a start, my view is that if Russia wanted to destroy Ukraine, it could have done it in 2 days. And yet it's been dragging on for 8 months or so, and they're telling us that, oh, Ukraine are getting back on top again now. And I'm just thinking, Russia's got the biggest, well, perhaps other than China, but it's certainly got the biggest military in the world. Ukraine, by comparison, is a tiny place. If Russia wanted to, it could just crush it overnight. And yet there's this ongoing manufactured war. I'm not saying people are not dying, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's a real war as such, but it's not being fought to be won. It's being fought to be prolonged. And the reason it's being prolonged is because they want an excuse to put the energy prices up to impoverish us even further. And this is what it's all about. I believe this is exactly what the Russian war has been about. It's about setting us up for being thoroughly impoverished by the energy companies, using the excuse of Russia shutting down the pipelines and not allowing, the gas to come through. So yeah, we have this situation now where people, it's not just going to be energy prices that go up. I mean, energy prices are intrinsically linked to absolutely everything, the manufacturing processes, the distribution processes, everything. So I can see the very strong possibility that just that inflation is going to go rampant, okay, and it's going to destroy people's lives. It's going to destroy people's livelihoods. There's going to be mass unemployment. There's going to be, and I'm painting a very bleak picture here, but it's just a kind of a surmise, really, as to what they're planning. And of course, this is leaving off from where COVID, this is taking up again from where COVID left off. They did part of the job with COVID. They destroyed the economy. to a large extent, but nowhere near as much as they'd hoped. Because I actually believe that COVID was meant to run for a lot longer. And I think we actually defeated them in a sense, because of so many people became aware that it was all bloody nonsense. And I think they had to curtail their plans, because originally in the Rockefeller lockstep document, it said that it was going to run till 2025. Well, it didn't. It only ran till the very, very early 2022, didn't it? And so I think they had to think of something else, and this is what we've got. So this energy crisis that we have over here, at least, is going to absolutely destroy economies. It's going to destroy people's lives. And I think this is going to be the next biggie.
Yes.
Does all that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry
no,
for rambling on.
No. It's really good to hear that. It's probably exactly what I was going to go with tonight on the podcast.
Right.
With the energy crisis, that's their next move. Mm-hmm. It's what I've been looking into, and obviously there's a lot of fear and everything going on, but I think, yeah, the way you describe it there, absolutely, I think that's basically their next chess move, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
And putting these jabs into half the planet as well, you know, is a big concern because you know a lot of people are starting to show signs of just not being well, and it's only climate.
People are dying like flies over here.
Oh boy, yeah, we're behind you obviously, but we're getting terrible statistics from Victoria. The amount of deaths, you know, compared to previous years, it's really. And I personally know a lot of people who are just ill all the time. So, you know, that's building as well. And I've talked about this on previous podcasts, looking at the European winter coming into play now and the energy and gas shortages and this manufactured, it's all manufactured, of course.
Of course.
I was just looking at a video today on YouTube where a news, this news channel, we're looking at Europe at the moment and how Germans, they're resorting to going out and getting their own timber now, like back in the old days, you know. They seem to be thinking that Europe, which is, you know, I mean, so much wealth and, you know, so much incredible wealth, and the modern society that we're used to, and people having nice homes and central heating and being able to use gas and everything, that is all going now. It's all being taken away. We're seeing different things in Australia already. Sydney, Canberra, they're already said by a certain date they're taking out all petrol cars. It all has to be electric. All of this plans coming into play here, because it runs differently here. We don't have the harsh winters that Europe does.
No.
They can't starve us out through freezing cold temperatures, you know, and That's take true. Away your gas heating and everything. So they're going with the smart city implementation. Already the New South Wales Premier's talking about big grids around Sydney to Newcastle, down the coast, everywhere being smart city grids. They're bringing in all this. So we can see where it's going. Looking at Europe, I have been watching that for a while going into the winter there. It's a problem, because I was looking at some articles. I got one here, a guy over at Health Impact News does some okay stuff as well. And he's got one here saying thousands of businesses are closing all over Europe due to high energy bills. And it's just no longer to stay open. And that's also from Zero Hedge News. And they're saying that, shocked Europeans, mostly in the UK and Ireland, have been posting viral photos, shockingly high energy bills going on, and it's getting worse with the so-called energy crisis, which is completely manufactured. You look at France and stuff, they got more energy than anyone. They sell it, John, and now suddenly we're supposed to believe that you guys over there just, you don't have anything anymore, and it can't people see that this is manufactured, that it's being withheld?
No,
so it's a bit of a bleak look at your winter.
Yeah, well, my friend, one of my friends, he knows someone who owns two pubs. Now, this guy has told him that he now, with the energy prices, because The doubling. Okay, they're absolutely doubling on more. Okay, and then they're going to double again in the new year. All right, this is what we've been told. Okay, now this guy reckons that once that, if that happens, he will need to sell 300,000 pints of beer just to break even.
Mm. Well, you can't keep the pub open.
300,000. Yeah, it's just impossible. And this is just a pub. I mean, you know, just think of all the other businesses, all the small businesses. This is what it's about. It's destroying small businesses. That's what they tried to do with COVID, and it succeeded to a certain extent, but obviously not enough for them because they hadn't finished with COVID. It was curtailed, I believe. So this is now what they're doing. And this is leading us into Agenda 2030. The Klaus Schwab statement, you know, by 2030 you will own nothing and you'll be happy. And this is exactly where we're going. And not only is that ongoing, but the depopulation agenda is progressing as well, because this is going to kill people as well. No doubt about it. There'll be people dying by the thousands this winter because they can't afford it. Because it's going to be a choice between eating or heating. And, you know, it's going to kill thousands. And they know it. And this is exactly what they're aiming for. As a slight aside on that, somebody sent me some information. They've done an analysis on the ONS website, which is the government website. This is a government website, the Office of National Statistics. And hidden behind all the frontage of it, he did some calculations. And he said, and I have no reason to disbelieve him, he said that the government are actually admitting within that website that one in 73 people who've had the jab are already dead. One in 73.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And this is going to accelerate as time goes on, because this is a, you know, the contents of that jab are you know, obviously some people died sooner than others, but it's slow acting. Okay, it's the longer the time goes on, the more people are going to fall ill and die, and this is going to be an acceleration. So yeah, it's all looking a bit doom and gloomy at the minute, but you know, we plod on, don't we? We've got to face up to it, and as long as we're prepared, you know, in whatever way we can, then, you know, that's the best way of standing up to them. It's not easy, but, you know, you've got to go on, and life goes on, despite these bastards.
Yeah, we knew this was going to happen last year. I was talking and talking and talking about it. Yeah, there was going to be a tsunami, a tidal wave of this kill-off of people, because that's what it is. It's a kill-off.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you have the same people like hiking up. They're withholding. They're staging this crisis. They're withholding the energy which we could all have. It's right there to use. We're withholding it, and then they're jacking up the prices at the same time, so people can't afford it. You know, and then this is just the next part. That's what people just don't understand, John. They think that. The whole COVID-19 thing and the lockdowns and everything that we saw, you know, throughout the last couple of years was it. And you got your injections. Now we can go on flights and we can do everything. This is just the calm before the storm. Now this is the great reset. This is Agenda 2030. Yeah. And not only is it a mass kill off, a culling of the herd of humanity, but it's bringing in this new technology and this new transhuman type of agenda where, as Klaus Schwab says, you will own nothing. And
this is the ultimate goal, Adam, as you know.
Of course.
And this is the subject of mine Shannon's next book, of course. You know, this is where we're going next, and it's definitely transhumanism.
100%.
Yeah.
150%, yeah.
It's the end goal.
Yeah, but
because once they achieve that, it's worth pointing out to anyone who's not aware of this, once they achieve that goal, they've won, if they achieve it. Okay, and there's a lot of doubt that it will happen, but this is where they're trying to head us, because for millennia they've wanted to control us, and they've done that, you know, through the past centuries by various methods, by murdering us, genociding us, propagandizing us. You know, it's all been about control, because there's only ever been a few thousand of them and several millions and billions of us. So this is what they've done. But they know that this is the end game, and the ultimate solution to their quest to control is this transhumanism. Because once that happens, we've lost. They've won, because they're already, and they have been for several years, patents out there on the internet for the remote control of human minds and the remote control of human bodies. And this is not fantasy, this is fact. It's out there. I mean, I've seen YouTubes where these crazy, idiotic professors are talking to an audience of other scientists and saying this is exactly the technology we have now. And once that happens, they know that they will have ultimate control, because we will be helpless. If they can remotely control our minds and our bodies, then we will be helpless. And of course, the contents of the vaccinations are facilitating all this stuff. The stuff that's in there, the nanoparticles, the graphene oxide, it's all in there for a purpose, and that purpose is transhumanism.
That's right. And I get that feeling, and I always keep saying it, John, that they're not building facilities here to manufacture these new technology driven vaccines, or they're not vaccines, but jabs, or whatever you want to call them. They're building them all over the world, and they're building them here in Australia. And originally we were told, oh, there's a virus, just we need you to lock down, we need to bend the curve, and then we're all set, you know. Now they're building facilities to manufacture these jabs, which tells me that they're trying to perfect what they're doing, topping people up almost, you know. And I think I brought this up earlier on, and I stick by it. I think that as younger people maybe push through after getting all these boosters, I think they're, because what we've found out now, John, here in Australia, and there's going to be lots of information coming out about this. There's been some studies done on this. We've found out that Melbourne, Australia, we know what happened there under Daniel Andrews, that is actually was a living experiment. A live experiment on the people. Every single thing that took place there was planned, and it was like a massive petri dish, and everybody in that city were part of that experiment, and it was unbelievable. So, the lockdowns, the jab rates, the protests, if the police could, how it would balance out. Everything was, all the numbers were crunched there. And now they're
Yes.
building these facilities, and all of this. It's all very, very, very well structured and planned. Of course, we know that. It's all part of Agenda
Yeah.
2030. And that part of it, what we saw, with the lockdowns and the jabs and everything, and the police and the fear mongering, and, getting and maintaining control over the population was just part of the plan. It moves on now. They're moving on with it, and it's unbelievable. People were treated like rats in a maze in some kind of laboratory experiment. It's absolutely incredible what I've seen here and witnessed, and it's amazing. And the stats that are coming out from the UK are astonishing, to be honest. I mean, I can't keep on top of what's happening in Europe and the UK, and because there's a delayed effect, like throwing a pebble in a lake, Australia on the other side of the bank, you guys copped it first, and those ripples are going to eventually lead out and engulf us, and there's no escape from it, because people have taken those jabs. And I can't put any icing on this, John, other than this, we're going to see a massive kill off. I'm sorry to be negative to folks, but
I don't like to be
unfortunately,
negative either, but we've got to face facts, haven't we? This is what they're aiming for.
yeah, that's right. And all I can think of is that babies that are being born to mothers who have had these jabs, and those babies are getting the jabs, and maybe they die. I just think that they're perfecting this, and at some point we're going to get the singularity where the human form takes with this tech, and
Yes.
it works, you know what I mean? And then they have new injections, and I think that we're going, not, and I absolutely believe that in this transhuman future, these kinds of non-human entities will need to be topped up with these potions every day to live this kind of life, because they have to be connected into this grid. I think that that absolutely is happening, because we're not human anymore. But looking at great websites like the Exposé, it's just I can't post it all. It's unbelievable. They're talking here about children being killed in Europe. It's an 8 times increase in excess deaths among children in Europe since COVID vaccine rollout, according to official EU data. So the mortality figures for Europe show that there has been a shocking 691% increase in excess deaths among children since the European Medicines Agency extended the emergency use authorization of the Pfizer COVID-19 jab for the ages of 12 to 15 in May. This is astonishing figures that we're starting to get out, and it's rolling forward. From every country on earth, we're seeing it. And unbelievably, many, many people keep taking them. hook, line, and sinker, which is incredible, as this plan rolls forward. Looking at the, just to get your unique opinion on this, John, because you've done so much, you know, work on this, and of course you're in the UK. Looking at the WHO and the IMF and the, the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, and all these big players in Europe, if we were just to look at the WHO and the power that these people have, the meetings that they're having in Switzerland, where they're flying in their jets, and they're having these big Davos meetings with their own police forces, and they're basically conjuring up the future for all of us, and taking away our energy, starving people out, taking away people's power. People can't heat their places. They can't look after themselves. They're taking away our food. They're telling us that we need to be eating insects and all of this. They're jabbing people. They're scaring the hell out of the planet. These kind of elitists, as we call them, what's going on here with this structure? Because, you know, what's your research on this? Because it's saturated through your books. This power structure of planet Earth and where it comes from and who these people are and how this happens, even if we're looking at the Queen of England and your so-called royals over there and the City of London and, big power players here, of course, the Vatican, all of this, the big bankers, the Zionists, all of this kind of stuff. There's a lot going on here, but there's a lot of games and trickery, isn't there, if you look at Donald Trump and everything that's happening in the US and all of this sort of stuff. A lot of stuff to keep large sections of humanity with hope that, this guy's going to come back and he's going to save America and all of this. You've got a lot of psychological operations going on at the same time that they're just dominating the mindset of planet Earth. It's an incredible program, isn't it, done through the TVs and the newspapers and the media and everything. It really is such a weapon through the hearts and the minds of humanity. What is your idea on these people that meet over there in Davos in Switzerland and decide our future over lavish dinners, John? This is incredible, isn't it?
It is. Well, I mean, obviously they're all, it's the big billionaires club, isn't it? Whether they're actually a breed apart from us, as some people seem to think, I'm not so sure about that. I just think they are. Personally, I just think they're human beings just like us, but they're different in the sense that they are psychopaths, okay, and their children are brought up to be psychopaths. The children are treated in such a way as to cause psychopathy amongst them. And they have no, a psychopath, for those people who are not aware, is someone who has no empathy whatsoever and doesn't feel. Anything, emotions like shame or as I say, empathy towards anyone else. They are very cold, calculating, unfeeling, unloving people. They don't know what love is. They don't know what compassion is. They are just out for themselves and their families. And they use every trick in the book and, of course, their fabulous wealth in order to achieve their nefarious ends. And their nefarious ends you know, it all comes back to the same thing again that we've just discussed, and that is to get us all in a position where they can control us and yet maintain their own luxurious lifestyles. Because, you know, the reason that they're trying to cull us now is because they don't need us anymore, because the technology is in place to replace human labor. The only reason they tolerated us down the years and yet feared us, and they still do fear us, is because they needed us. They needed us to run the machines. They needed us to complete the paperwork. They needed us to do all the admin in their huge corporations. But when you follow those corporations to the top of the pyramid, most of them are owned by the same people. In fact, there are two organizations, BlackRock and Vanguard, which own just about every single large corporation in the world. And these are all owned by these exact same people. They are what some people refer to as the 13 bloodlines. And, you know, if they are different to we normal humans, if I could use that expression, then, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, but I actually do believe that, you know, they are just humans who have kind of modified their own emotions and feelings to maintain this control over the people that they believe they have a right to subjugate, i.e. us, the masses, the huddled masses. So, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of room for debate on all that stuff. I do appreciate that. You know, that's just my personal take on it, mate, you know.
What's your ideas on the so-called British royals? What are we dealing with here in your part of the world? This is incredible, the hypnotic display we're seeing. And people just absolutely devouring this. I got an incredible article here from the Daily Mail, which is just unbelievable. But this was a classic. It was touching moment that the clouds parted and a single ray of sunshine shone down on the Queen's coffin as hundreds of thousands lined the streets to bid her farewell. And they've got an image here, folks, of a single ray of sunshine from the heavens above being captured on camera shining on the Queen's coffin during the procession. Isn't this incredible, John?
That looks totally unnatural to me, that image, because I have seen it, Adam. The edges of that beam of light are totally parallel, and that's not how sunlight works. You know, that would, if that'd come from the sun, that would have been spreading out, wouldn't it, as it hit the coffin.
It's just a single beam.
It's just like a laser beam to me. I know it's not a laser, but it's some close source of light, either that or it's totally CGI'd.
It's what do you say, John? It's turning on the weather special effects for the mobs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that to me is just a load of propaganda and nonsense to show. It's designed to show to everyone how special the Queen is, and that, you know, oh yeah, she's, you know, the gods have bestowed this single ray of sunlight onto her coffin as it passes, you know, just to show what a wonderful human being she was and that she'll be revered forevermore. You know, it's just such a bollocks, basically, mate.
Yeah, there's a live video I watched of a massive rainbow over Buckingham Palace when the Queen's death was announced, and all the people are watching it. This is, we're living in the Truman Show here. Because, you know, if they can manufacture stuff like this and turn on the weather and make beams happen, I mean, and people think you're crazy for saying that, but look at 9/11, you know? I mean, they people thought they saw planes hitting towers and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't. So it's like,
exactly.
You're wondering, boy, man, what kind of black magic are they using on the populations here? But, you know, even so, the people don't care. That's an amazing thing to me, because it's like the Queen's coffin's there, they're going through, the masses are there, and they just make this fake stuff appear and this beam of light come down and all these zombies, they absolutely just feeds them more. They absolutely love it. They can't get enough. They think that is absolutely wonderful. They think that God is just like beaming this light out of his eyes down to the Queen. And as you said, that is to show the whole planet how special she was, and that the heavens are parting open, and they're just beaming this light down and to this great almighty Queen. And it's just, boy, talk about living in a false reality.
I mean, how anyone can revere a family that over the generations, you know, through the millennia, through the hundreds of years in which they've allegedly ruled us, you know, how they can revere these people? They are absolutely bloodthirsty, genocidal mass murderers, as well as being paedophiles. You know, I mean, it's just utterly repugnant to me. But people are so propagandized, and in a sense, I don't blame them, because, you know, I know I sometimes get angry with them for not waking up and not being aware of what's really going on. But in a sense, you know, I was one of those a few years ago, you know, 25 years ago, I was one of those. You know, I think we all were at one point, not quite to that extent. I was never a royalist to that extent, but I was someone who was gullible enough to believe what the media told me, you know, for most of my life. So in a sense, I don't blame them. They've just not escaped the conditioning. They've just not escaped the propaganda. And it is very, very powerful. I mean, you know, I've said this before on your show, Adam, but these people who control us and control everything that goes on in the world, they know exactly how to control us as well, through psychological operations, through propaganda, through conditioning from birth, and obviously school is a big part of that. School conditions us to become, you know, a subservient, good little citizen, you know, goes to work 9 to 5, you know, comes home, doesn't look too much into, you know, what's really going on. It's all manufactured. It's all, you know, done as a way of controlling us. So in that sense, I don't, you know, really blame everyone, but it is bloody frustrating, that's for sure. You know, I sometimes think, well, if I can wake up and you can wake up, Adam, and all the other people that we know in the truth movement can wake up, why can't these silly sods? You know, it's difficult. It is a difficult one.
It is, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard to understand why so many people are still under so much mind control, and to see it in the media play out with the Queen. I didn't expect it like this. It's just amazing. I feel like I'm back at square one. I mean, it's an incredible thing. The way people worship these people, but the history of these people is ghastly. And the thing is, it's just amazing to me that obviously the mainstream media refused to bring up very basic things. Prince Charles' connection to Jimmy Savile.
Yeah.
You know, the images with them together, you know, and Epstein and all of this, you know.
Exactly.
There was an image I saw in the week. I don't know if it's true, but it was the Queen at a cabin that Epstein had been to, and they kind of seems like the same place. But, I mean, these people are all pedophiles. They're Freemasons and pedophiles. They're all interconnected, but it's just the media play the Queen like it's grandma and you know, grandma next door, like she's everybody's grandma. And it's just the Queen comes out and waves with the glove on, and Easter message and Christmas message, and everybody loves. I'm so proud to go over to see the Queen's funeral and everything. But nobody wants to look at what these people have been involved in. I mean, the incredible thing that I covered not that long ago, actually, I just was astonished that this war criminal, this murdering devil,
which one?
Tony Blair.
No, Tony Blair. Right?
Tony Blair was knighted. Tony Blair, you know. George Bush Jr. and John Howard, three of them war criminals, what they did in Iraq. absolute war criminals. Yeah. Tony Blair is a war criminal. He is a mass murderer. He needs to be behind bars, and here's the Queen knighting him. And I found that just an absolute slap in the face, not only for the planet, but definitely for the British people. It would have been thinking, he even looks like a devil, this guy. I mean, Tony Blair, come on. And then you see the Queen knighting these demons. You just think, oh, and then here the media are saying that she's like your grandma baking you cookies. And you're just thinking, oh, my God, this is absolutely incredible. How can we stop it, John? We can't stop them. They're all over there blubbering and they love the Queen. And it's I'm sure it's distracting everybody from the next stages as Europe basically go back into the Dark Ages.
Yeah,
you know, and they're taking away people's gas and power. This is insane.
Yeah. It's as I said before, it's a result of propaganda, extreme propaganda. I don't just mean casual propaganda. I mean extreme propaganda that emanates from the media 24/7. And it is extreme. And people are conditioned from very early on to believe that if it's in the media, it must be true. So it's quite an easy job for the media to then start praising these people such as Blair and the royal family, especially, and then of course it kind of sinks into people's psyche, and they actually begin to believe it themselves. And you know, the media and the people who control the media absolutely know this. You know, touching back on what I said a few minutes ago, somebody called Edward Bernays, who was like the kind of the father or the grandfather of propaganda. He was very active in formulating this, because you know these people have over the years have learned exactly which buttons to push, which levers to pull in our psyche, and you know it's an amazing job they've done. You know, you've got to begrudgingly accept that they've done an amazing job on the human psyche and knowing how to control it. It's not surprising that we're here because of the way, especially, probably from the beginning of the 20th century when it all really started, when they really turned it into a supreme art form, this is how they control us. But again, harping back to what I said previously about transhumanism, this is not enough for them. You know, they know that a few people have escaped that conditioning, such as you and I. Okay, we've, you know, and everyone else that does what we do, Adam. So that's not enough for them. And this is the reason why transhumanism is going ahead, because they know that once that happens, they've got all of us and we're screwed.
That's right. Well, they didn't worry about the people who didn't want the jabs or to buy into the system earlier. They just got those who wanted it.
Yeah.
They got them rounded up, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, and then that fraction of us who are left, they're not concerned.
No.
And it's still an incredible thing to me how many people bought into this. And took that bait. It's an unbelievable thing that there is a lot of pushback happening around the world, but it's an incredible situation, isn't it? Really is how mass brainwashing works, and how as you said, the media works. It's really baffled me since day one. I always try to break it down. I think you as an individual and our listeners as an individual, me as an individual, we just have to continue doing the best we can. And
exactly,
we know what we're doing, and you know, we didn't get these jabs and we didn't wear the masks and we didn't play into all of this because we did our research and we're just simply aware.
Yes.
But it's been an incredible ride, to say the least.
And continues to be.
For sure, yeah. Yeah,
goodness knows where we're going to be in 2-3 years' time, but it doesn't bode well, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, they're already talking in Australia about they're going to take away our gas. And of course, looking at somewhere like I was looking at Germany and these places, most people heat their homes and use gas. You know, they're taking that away. They're already telling us in the media here it's going to be gone soon.
Yeah.
They're taking away your gas. you know, your cars, all of this. And yeah. Again, this is what Klaus Schwab said. In this transhumanist type future, you will own nothing and you'll be happy. And can't people see that this is where they're going? I was talking about an article I was looking at from the US about a month ago, John, where they're talking about rentable clothes. Where you know, because clothes, when you buy clothes and you don't use them anymore, they're saying that it creates too much landfill and everything, you know. So they're talking about this system where you rent clothes, you know. So yeah, you rent it, you know.
Sorry to interrupt, Adam. It just ties back to what Schwab said. He said by 2030, you will own nothing.
That's what
and
I'm
he
saying.
Also added,
yeah.
Not even the clothes that you stand up in, he said.
That's right. They'll be ours. You'll rent them and then you'll take them back and get another one.
Yeah.
You know, and those clothes will be tracked and traced every and follow you everywhere you go, and will know where you're going and what you're doing and what you're spending on. You know, it's absolutely incredible. You can see very clearly here in Australia, everywhere that I look, that they're taking away cash and they're making it all digital now and everything like that. You can see the Agenda 2030 agenda in clear daylight now. You know, you've got this whole COVID psyop that scared everybody and got the needles in arms and everything and the lockdowns and the whole fear of I'm going to get a virus and I'm going to catch something and spread it to someone else, which is completely bullshit. And that's never going to happen. But that it's like a mask, and the mask is coming off now, and you're seeing that other agenda come through and pull through, you know, and it's becoming very clear. Can't people see this? What they're doing with not just the power and the food shortages and everything and the cars and the electricity and gas and everywhere that you look, you can see that they're, you know, what I've been saying on our Telegram channel and telling people what I feel is there's always been this evil here, John. It's always ghosted us. It's always been there. I just feel like now is the time that this force is making its grab. It's going for the throat. This is where it's.
Yeah.
This time is where it's making its move. It absolutely is, and it's just surprising. Yeah. It's shocking to me that people can't. That more. I guess a lot of people are starting to see this, but I just don't know if we're going to be able to make this happen. You know, in quick enough time, but it definitely, when I look at Europe, and I've been talking about this a lot, they're starving. They're going to try and starve people out. And this is all completely manufactured. So I guess that, you know, people need to come together here as they're doing in many parts of the world. I think that people are seeing this. I know that in the UK earlier on, I read this last year that farmers and stuff were already onto all of this trickery that's going on. You know, they know better because, you know, we've lived our lives. We're going along. We've had no problems. And then suddenly I think to myself, John, that they're going for too much too soon and it's too quick.
Yeah,
I mean, with the whole COVID thing, people are just too suspicious anyway with what's going on here, and now they're trying to do all of this, and I feel like it's desperate. I know this is a common theme we always discuss. I feel like the system is lashing out, and it's just too desperate. I feel like they're, as you've always said, they're moving through their plan too quickly. Already, it's too fast. I feel like they wanted this to go much slower. They wanted to cook us in this, like the frog in the hot water, you know. And I feel like too many people are onto it. Maybe it's not working. You know, some people I speak to seem to think that this is going all to plan, but I feel like it's just too chaotic.
Yeah,
they're bringing in things too quick and they're making errors. I was talking to this with some of my guests recently that we're seeing a lot of weird things recently that kind of, it kind of looks like the system itself is malfunctioning a little bit. And we were talking about how even the media are making mistakes in their articles and things aren't making sense. It seems like the whole system, it's trying to push too quickly, and it itself is starting to malfunction, and we're seeing these mistakes. I just get that feeling they're moving too quick, but at the same time, you're getting a lot of people who have fallen into this trap of getting these jabs last year or year before, they're starting mm-hmm. to get ill and they don't have any fight back. They're trying to get compensation or trying to get some kind of help because they're not feeling well or they're getting all these terrible conditions. This is a part of this that is only going to intensify, John. As you said there, when we started tonight, there's technology that's in people and the graphene oxide. Even if you've had one and there's a little bit in you, it seems to be scaffolding and working its way outside the body, you know. We know through some recent reports, which are peer-reviewed studies, and I posted that on the website last night, that people who are having any kind of reactions after these COVID-19 jabs, their blood is extremely abnormal. Their blood is not normal anymore. And so, you know, this is quite a while after people got the initial ones. This could be at any point. We just don't know. This is a problem that we're dealing with. If we as humanity originally said we're not getting those jabs, then we've got a fight on our hands. But because so many people took those jabs, I worry even for all this mass of humanity that are waking up towards this game of Agenda 2030, that they're not going to have that fight in them to even do anything because they're going to be so ill. And we're going to have to, you know, take that fight up for them, which is a lot of burden and stress on us because simply we were just awake and we had our wits about us and we didn't buy in or take any of this rubbish. It really is a, we're in between a rock and a hard place, John.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah.
As humanity, aren't we? We really are. It's hard to know what to do. What are you seeing, where you are, in the UK with like, say, what's your news on your bills and what you're seeing with food and prices? Are you seeing this kind of squeeze where you are?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the apparently inflation is at its highest since the 1970s. I mean, I remember the early 70s, we went through a really bleak period where prices just skyrocketed. And apparently, you know, we're heading that way again now. And I think, you know, with the energy thing, it's gonna make things worse. It's gonna double. In fact, I think, you know, there is a serious danger of hyperinflation. You know, runaway inflation has happened in several places in the past. You know, most notably Germany in the 1920s, when, you know, people were starving in the streets because, you know, the inflation had just gone crazy. You know, I wrote about that in one of my books. I think it was Behind the Curtain, wrote about the German hyperinflation of the 1920s. You know, I can see a similar situation here quite easily because, you know, maybe that's what they want. Maybe that is exactly what they want. I mean, I'm not sure about that. But that would certainly tick a lot of boxes for them. You know, it would get rid of a lot of people and it would also destroy businesses, small businesses, which again is part of the agenda. They want everything to be one major corporation. You know, Amazon could be that one. it's heading that way anyway. But yeah, they don't like small businesses. They don't like people, you know, they don't want to take the profits away from their own companies, which is, of course, what it's all about. You know, they own all the big corporations, but they don't own the small businesses. So it makes sense that they would want to destroy small businesses, and that's exactly what's happening. So, yeah, I mean, at the moment, to get back on question, we are seeing prices, you know, going up quite considerably, and of course, as wages are not following as ever. It's worrying. I mean, it's even worrying for me. I mean, I don't work for anybody, but my livelihood is my books, and if people don't have, if people's disposable income is drastically reduced, which is exactly what will happen, then they're going to think twice, three times, four times about buying my books, which is going to impact me. So, you know, it's really, you know, just because I don't have a job, it doesn't mean it's going to affect me. Of course it is. You know, I'm sure that I'm going to have to tighten my belt as well.
Mm. Yeah, and, you know,
things have a knock-on effect, don't they?
Yeah, when people can't pay their bills and everything's too high, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, but you know, you're getting knowledge out to the public about what's going on here. I mean, all we can do till the end of our days, John, is get knowledge out to the public and
exactly, and
try to wake them up as and all those people on the fence, you know, try to wake them up to what's really going on here, that they have to see this Agenda 2030, that the whole COVID-19 psyop and the jabs and everything and the lockdowns was just part of this greater agenda. Yeah. You know, and now they're moving forward. Now we're going into the climate stuff and all of this, you know.
Well, that's it. I mean, this is the next big thing, isn't it? This is kind of waiting quietly in the background.
Oh, boy.
The climate change. But this is going to be another biggie. You know, you can see there's little murmurings of things in the press all the time. They keep plugging away at it, you know, it's going to be disastrous and, you know, it's going to cause worldwide devastation of crops and flooding and all this nonsense. And it is all nonsense. I mean, it's just made up. Climate change is not happening. It's just part of, it's called the natural weather cycle. You know, things heat up and cool down over different periods, and it's always been that way. It's just another ploy to to deflect us from, you know, what's going on, and B, to facilitate Agenda 2030, as is all the other stuff we've been talking about in the last hour.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And before we plug out, John, what's your ideas on what would you tell the listeners on how to what would be your ideas on moving forward here and staying positive? I think that we just need to. I'm seeing a lot of great communities around and people who are starting to see that something's wrong here, and I think that's the important thing. No matter what happens, as long as you as an individual start to think that, you know, something isn't right here and I'm being used or tricked or abused in some way. I think that awareness, as I always say, is the key. And once you become self-aware and you're aware of the environment around you and what the governments are doing and what the media is saying, and you start looking at things and you start questioning things, that's as you start to wake up. That's an important thing. And those kinds of folks out there that are doing that, you know, reading books that you're doing and listening to podcasts and tuning into channels and I mean, all you got to do is just keep getting the conversation out and rolling. I mean, that's what the system doesn't like. I know it. You know, that's why they're trying to censor us so much. They don't like that we're countering what they're trying to do, and that people are starting to think for themselves. Because once humanity, as you know, John, wake up in mass numbers, that's it. It just the thing that changes the game now is so many have had these jabs, and that obviously worries me. What's in them, and what the outcome is going to be here, and will they be able to be on our team? Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's because that those jabs for me are a game changer. You know, they basically jabbed half the planet, and they've they've taken you out in a way. You know, but we have to just keep fighting on, John.
Yeah, I don't think they've actually jabbed as many people as they're telling us. Because again, harping back to the ONS website, it would appear that it's a huge number, only 44 million took the first jab. They was telling it was 95%. Mm. The actual 44 million is about 65%. And then it was a slightly less number for the second jab and another slightly less number for the third jab. So they were lying to us about the number of people that had it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, to answer your original question, you know, I think, you know, it's just important that everybody communicates with each other. We keep passing on the information. We try and stay positive. I know it's really hard. It's hard for me sometimes. Sometimes I wake up and I feel, you know, not suicidal, but I feel, you know, down about things. But overall, you know, I'm quite a positive person generally. I think it's important that we kind of try and stay positive. Any friends who are feeling a bit down, you know, cheer them up a bit, you know, whatever, in whatever way, and just live as I do from day to day. not knowing what next day will bring, because you've just got to accept that now. It's very difficult to plan more than a few weeks ahead at a time, and even that's kind of dodgy as well. But yeah, I think the overall message I would say, Adam, is just try and stay positive and focus on solving these issues that we're faced with. And, and again, communicating those ideas as we are doing now to people, and trying to make people aware as much as possible of what's going on. Because as you said, quite rightly, if, the whole world wakes up, then these people are screwed.
That's right. And this system feeds on fear, absolutely feeds on our fear, and confusing us and keeping us in that fear state, in that drowning state. And we must all be self-aware and aware of this system around us, break it all down. And we must move into a more positive and loving state, which will raise our vibrations and our, these frequencies. And this is the end of the system if enough of us wake up. We're in incredible times. We're incredible times, but the fact is we're here. We're here and it's happening. It's unbelievable to see what's happening. It really is. Every day I'm like, is this really going on? It's just unbelievable. I can't believe they're still talking about COVID, and people are still wearing masks. There's still people wearing masks, Johns, and all the restrictions, even on the international flights in and out of Australia and domestic flights, it's all gone. There's no masks anymore, and people are still in them. You do not have to wear a mask, really, only for a couple of settings now. And I'm out today, and there's people in them, They believe so much in this false system and false reality. It's absolutely incredible. I don't know what they're so petrified of, that they can't see the truth through that that fear-mongering and propaganda that's being pumped out of the TVs, and they're just unable to think for themselves. But you know what? That's their life. We have to move on. We can't keep, worrying about these people who keep falling over and stumbling. We have to move on with our lives as well, and stay positive, John. And it's always great chatting with you, John. Anyway, on the podcast,
yeah, you too.
It's absolutely amazing, and I feel like it's been an incredible year of podcasting, and will continue forward. It's been amazing to speak to Shannon as well. Your new
great
book,
she's really
absolutely
knowledgeable.
Amazing, John, and I could talk to Shannon like yourself all day. She just goes off. It's absolutely incredible, and we have great discussion. She's going to be on with me like yourself once a month, to give her an outlet as well. And some of my listeners have all been buying the books as well, and great on you guys as well. Scott, one of the listeners, and I do podcasts with him. He's just bought Shannon's book, and he's going to be reviewing it on her on Amazon as well, which
Excellent.
Is great. And so we always encourage people, to our listeners, to buy and share books, because reading is knowledge. We read to my little one every day and every night, always into the books. We love our books here, and we love physical books. And knowledge is so important to share. John's new book with Shannon is, of course, Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to the Great Reset. It's Kindle and also a hard paperback copy as well. Yeah. And I always put up that information in the podcast description, because you can actually, if you can, you can actually order signed copies of the new book or John's books from him himself, and he will send them over to and post you. So I post them to you. So I always put John's email and everything to contact if you want an actual signed copy, and John to send you a physical book. That's fantastic. And the book's going absolutely fantastic. And I just wanted to say as well, of course, Shannon Rowan co-authored this book with John as well. They both did it together. So an absolute, and you guys have more books coming up, John. That's wonderful. How are you going to connect here, John, with doing the new books? Are you doing it just online, or are you going to try and get over there again, or how's this going to work with your new one?
Well, I can't enter the States at the moment because of the vax requirements.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, she could come here, but she can't travel because of her condition. She couldn't sit in a plane for 10 hours or whatever it is. I mean, she just couldn't do it because it's just full of EMF, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. But I guess you guys are so interconnected, and you've got all these ideas flying around for the new book.
Yeah.
How's it going to work? What are you going to do? Just do it online?
Just exactly the same way as we did it, the first one. We're starting the sequel next month, October, as the nights draw in the Northern Hemisphere. We will be spending our evenings writing, researching and writing. So, yeah, that's what the new book is going to be called, 21st Century Cyborg, by the way. That's what we've decided on the title. And this is about, the transhumanism agenda.
Wow. There you go, eh? Yeah, there's no other way to go, is there, John? But
no.
You guys are, and all of us are just being honest about this and where this is going. We can see where this is going, and it's transhumanism. Yeah. It's very in your. It's completely obvious now, and this is. I mean, all we can do is research and write about it and talk about it, and so that's going to be incredible, because with your knowledge and research and Shannon's as well, and her problems with the technology, but what she also knows about it is really incredible as well. Talking about technology with her and how it has captured our youth and our minds. And the minds of humanity is absolutely unbelievable, and 5G and everything, she's so knowledgeable on it. And I think that's why you guys and myself here, we all work well together, and we just have to keep moving forward and trying our best to get the information out to people, because people need to know this, and this is where it's actually going, and I can't imagine one single human being that would want to go into a future like this. We are fast approaching that point, John, where humanity's either going to get spooked and go back, or we're going to tumble forward into this abyss of transhumanism. And I don't think that's where we want to be.
Definitely not.
We don't want to go down that road, folks. No. We got to go back and return to the what's true in our heart centers. No, we our souls. We can't lose all this. This is just not right. So this is going to be incredible times, John, and this is going to be really interesting book that you guys are going to be working on, and very interesting how you're going to collaborate here. Are you going to?
We're on Skype, of course. Yeah.
Are you going to write the book, John, or does she send? Like, how do you put it all together?
It's like a division of labor. We split the chapters between us, and we each research and write those particular topics that are contained within each chapter. So it's like a division of labor. So she writes half, I write half,
and then you submit it to your guys on your end.
Then we read each other's work, we make comments, we, suggest improvements, suggest omissions, so it is very much a joint enterprise, but, we don't kind of collaborate on every single paragraph, we do write separately and then collate it all. So, yeah, it's we learned a lot doing the last one. I mean, the last one that we made a few errors in terms of logistics, how it worked, but I think we've ironed all those out now. I think we're ready to rock and roll, as I say. It's going to be a lot. I think it's going to be a lot quicker process than last time. So hopefully by the end of next summer we should be publishing.
Two minds are better than one.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, we've got, as you kind of said, Shannon's got amazing knowledge on 5G and other subjects that I don't, and likewise I have a good knowledge of stuff that she doesn't, so it works really well. And the great thing about it is, and this is why we decided to collaborate anyway, was our writing styles are very, very similar. I would defy anybody to actually pick out which chapters I'd written and which chapters she'd written, because the similarity is almost uncanny.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, that you guys have met in this lifetime to do this work. It really is special and important.
Definitely meant to be, mate. Absolutely meant
absolutely.
To be.
Absolutely. And I feel absolutely so privileged and proud to be here documenting it and talking about it as well and being in the mix. It's a wonderful experience. It's and so absolutely. We find light, true light and positive energy in this, John. Indeed. And what an incredible experience to meet someone like that, like Shannon yourself, that you just that you just interconnect with so well. It's like you're the one person. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. And to write books, what a powerful weapon against this New World Order beast grid that we are all facing.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, mate. I feel absolutely privileged to be able to do it. You know, it's just a fulfillment of my life, if you like. You know, the fact that I've been able to write all these books and help so many people to wake up, you know, and it's so gratifying. I mean, I don't do it for the gratification. I do it because I feel that's what I'm here for somehow in some way. But obviously it's nice to be appreciated as well, of course, you know.